And this is, you know, becoming more and more important as our landfills fill up and as the plastic fibers that are in the disposable clothing start to disintegrate into our in our landfills and start to reach our waterways and our, you know, our water sources and become part of the agriculture. It's a very difficult conversation, and most people don't. It's very complicated and hard to decipher, and we're bombarded by all the things that we're supposed to do, so people are tired. But it's a very important conversation because it's a legacy that we're leaving our children.
Welcome to Mindful Businesses, presented by Sarani, and I'm your host, Vidya Iyer. In our podcast, we bring to you brands which are mindful in their practices and processes. A mindful business adopts and employs sustainable social, economic, and environmental practices. Today, we have with us Natalie Channon, founder of Alabama Channon, for a modern, sustainable life. Welcome, Natalie.
Thank you. It's lovely to be here.
I'm so glad we connected. Tell us about your hometown, Florence, Alabama.
Florence is, as I mentioned, part of the what we call the Shoals, which comes from the Muscle Shoals region. This has to do with the river. The Tennessee River runs right through the middle of the four cities, and actually, Muscle Shoals is spelled like muscle, not like the animal, the mollusk, but because there were a lot of shoals right in the river, right where we're from, people had to pick up their boats and carry them across the shoals. So, you know, we've had settlement here for a very, very long time, and we're known for some great music folk from W.C. Handy, all the way up to, you know, all the music that was recorded in the Muscle Shoals region with Muscle Shoals Sound and Fame Studios. Helen Keller is from this area, which some people don't know about. We have a beautiful Frank Lloyd Wright house. We have a history of very creative people coming from this place. And our little town is still relatively small and quaint, but we have some great industries and creative endeavors going on right now. So it's a great place to live.
How long has your family lived there? How many generations?
As far as we can count back, about six generations we've been here, so long time.
So your roots are basically Florence, Alabama.
Yes, my families have settled here, you know, kind of migrating from the coastal areas over. So,
tell us how your journey began. What prompted you to start Alabama Channon?
Well, I do have to say, you know, I started the business in a way kind of by accident, but I guess it was an accident that was, you know, thoughtfully executed. So I, you know, had been traveling for a bit and living out of a backpack pretty much. And I wanted to have something to wear to this party one night. And so I took a t-shirt out of my backpack and I wound up kind of cutting it up and sewing it back together again by hand. And, you know, I was very excited that guests at the party liked the t-shirt that I had on. But more than that, it had been a really long time since I had made something by hand like that, even though I, you know, I'm a trained designer and I had been working as a costume designer stylist, and you know, definitely had made things, but that act of just taking a needle and thread in my hand and sewing was something that you know, had been pretty far removed from. And so the morning after the party, I woke up and I had this idea to make another t-shirt, and I started doing that and making one every day for this little portrait project that I was doing. And somehow in the midst of it, I had this idea that I would like to see these 200 one-of-a-kind t-shirts all put together as a project. And with friends and family, I was able to put together a project to create, to come home to my hometown, back to my hometown, and engage women who were quilters to sew those 200 one-of-a-kind t-shirts. And
if I can interrupt you, so basically you designed these things, or you had already made prototypes and you wanted these women to sew these in?
Well, at that time, I was working with only recycled materials. So I was buying used T-shirts from thrift stores all over. You know, we would sanitize them. I would cut them up and in a collage kind of method, put the T-shirts back together again. So I was designing and putting together each one of the T-shirts. And then women in my community were doing the hand sewing on it, essentially using a quilting stitch. Running stitch is what you would call it. So it wasn't like a prototype situation, really. They were all, every single one was different. So
when was this?
This was in 2000, so exactly 20 years ago. So 20 years ago, I, almost to the day, I landed back in New York, I believe, after kind of a long travel, as I mentioned. And by March or April, I'd already sort of started piddling with cutting up T-shirts. And I believe that first party was in May. So we're coming up on our 20-year anniversary of doing this kind of work in this little town. I came home in December of 2000 to do that first run of 200 T-shirts. But obviously, I had been working on it for much longer than that. So this is a big, big time for us.
You were really ahead of your times, considering there is so much talk about sustainability in the fashion industry right now. Since I started the podcast, I'm not sure whether it's just me, but I just hear the word sustainability. And there are so many new brands which try to do what you have been doing for the past 20 years. It's pretty commendable that you thought about these sort of concepts so early on.
Thank you. Yeah, we've, you know, as an organization now, we've been discussing this now for the last year about what that means, 20 years of defining sustainability. And, you know, we're really proud of the work that we've done and that we've been able as a small company to you know, kind of forge this path.
How many people do you employ right now?
You know, it fluctuates all the time. We have anywhere between 20 and 35 employees at any given time that work at our building, which is, we call the factory. And then we have between 20 and 30 independent contractors who do our hand sewing and embroidery that live within about an hour and a half radius of the factory. So they are, as I mentioned, their own business owners, and they work from their homes or their place of business or wherever they choose to work. So, you know, altogether, we're anywhere between, you know, 40 and 70 people at any given time.
Where did you go to school, and what was your career path which led you to the current role that you're playing?
So I have a degree in, it sounds very modern. My degree is in environmental design from the College of Design at North Carolina State University. I did a double major, which today they call the Annie Albers program. The environmental design program was really, it was a Bauhaus structure. Mm-hmm. Had this kind of very unusual Bauhaus training in the mid-80s in Raleigh, North Carolina. Which, I mean, I really have to credit with where I am today and the work I've been able to accomplish as a designer really has to do with both the design school there and the textile school. The double major really was in like design theory and with a minor in textile design. And then the other part of it was in the textile school, so like industrial textile engineering almost from a design perspective. So I had a very broad education, which has served me very well.
So you talked about NC State. I don't know if you've listened to any of our earlier episodes. They seem to be quite creative and innovative in helping develop new talent. For instance, one of our previous guests, her name is Laurie Garnier, and she developed this silver spun socks. and which is really popular now. And she started about 4 years ago. All those creative people out there probably helped you think about these things ahead of your time. You know, you were way ahead of other people who are now. Most major brands have a tab on their website which says sustainability, for what it's worth, you know.
Yes, thankfully, I'm not going to downplay that, because it's about time that, you know, our industry starts to look at its role in the environmental issues that we're looking at today. So, you know, as you know, the textile and fashion industry is one of the dirtiest on the planet. And, you know, it's, like I said, it's about time, but it's still not nearly enough. So
are you the sole designer now, or?
You know, we are now and have always been a team. I mean, I would say, yes, I am the designer and the creative director, but we have designers that work with us, and, you know, we collaborate with pattern makers, our artisans who do the hand sewing. You know, it is a symbiotic relationship. So as they develop their skills and go in different directions, we can design into that. And so I would say design, in my mind, is a conversation between a team of people. And, you know, sometimes we design into the capacity that our machines have. We have a machine-made program now. Sometimes, you know, it's a conversation between the machine sewers and the hand sewers. And so we, as a group, design into that. Sometimes it's about fabric that's available. You know, there's some people who are developing really beautiful fabrics that might be on a limited scale. And so we're able to play with the fabric. And so that, to me, is a conversation between, you know, fabric makers and embroiderers. And so I have a very broad vision of design, which I'm sure has to do with that Bauhaus influence.
Where are your fabrics made?
Anytime, you know, you talk about fabric and cotton specifically, you really have to start with the farmers. So our cotton is farmed in Texas and ginned there and then sent to North Carolina and South Carolina for all the processing. So there it's spun into yarn, knit, and dyed, and then comes to us to the factory in North. So we have an unbroken U.S. supply, organic supply chain, which I think, you know, is very unusual. Today, maybe becoming a little bit easier, but I can tell you that it was a very, very difficult process, you know, 10 years ago.
So I first heard about you and your brand in the book Fashionopolis by Dana Thomas, where she talks about your printmaking techniques. You have a unique method of how you make the prints. Could you explain to me how it works?
Yes, yes. We love Dana's book, and I'm very grateful that she included our work in that fantastic work. Yes, so aside from, you know, we practice sustainability on several different levels. So the organic cotton is just one of them. We also practice lean method manufacturing. So of course, we make samples for our collection and, you know, some very small amounts of pieces. But as a general rule, we don't make anything until it's ordered. So if you come to our website and order a t-shirt, we make it for you. And we're very, very proud of that process. Part of that is that, you know, normally a fashion company would have to print hundreds and hundreds of yards of fabric. So there are minimums to get machines started to print fabrics. And so what we do now is we have a very simple but elaborate stenciling system. So we have over 700 different patterns, stencils in the organization. So when a guest would order something, the piece would be cut, the pattern would be applied to the cut pieces of the fabric, and then that piece would either be sewn by machine or embroidered by hand and constructed by hand, depending on what that you know, particular design requires. And so it allows us not to produce lots and lots of fabrics in advance and produce lots of garments in advance that aren't already pre-sold. You know, one of the problems in our industry is that a lot of companies, they make decisions in advance about how many they're going to make of a particular piece. And then when those pieces don't sell, you know, they may go on to a sale price. And if it still doesn't sell, it may go to an outlet. And then after the outlet, most of the pieces are destroyed. So either by fire or landfill. So it's, you know, it's a very wasteful process. And so lean method, you know, alleviates that. So there's very, very little waste. And all of the waste that we do create, or, you know, 99% of our waste can be composted. So.